Tuesday, March 24, 1987. Spring lectures. Speaker is Dr. Lloyd Elder, President of Sunday School Board.
Thank you. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn, that in all things he might have preeminence. Pray with me. Lord, we struggle from the tops of our minds to the bottom of our hearts with preeminence. Sometimes in our best moments, we grant that prerogative to thee. At other times, we seize it for ourselves. Help us to get preeminence straight forever, and let it begin these days in these hearts of ours. In the strong name of the preeminent Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Welcome to the spring event. The week following the first day of spring, according to the calendar, is always significant on this campus because we have the spring event. It isn't exactly like events on the colleges and some of the churches and other places that some of you frequent, but for Southeastern, it's very special. And we welcome you for that event and all of those activities which surround it. Particularly today, we welcome those who are participating in the continuing education feature of the Conference on Educational Ministry. Many of you are here for that. I want you to stand if you are registered in that conference so we can greet you and welcome you especially to our camp. Stand up a minute. Let us see who you are. That's a fine delegation. Thank you for coming. And I must thank Dr. Bruce Powers and his colleagues who assisted so much in setting up the details of what looks to me like a very fine continuing education event. Not everybody knows Lloyd Elder like those of us who are in the Interagency Council family. I suspect when the story of my life is finally written, that I will have to admit that being with those colleagues in some of those genuine, tender, in-depth moments when we wrestle with the implications presently and past and future for the agencies of the convention we all love and serve, that will be one of the great periods of my own spiritual and emotional, theological, and other types of an experience. It is quite an event to be with these colleagues. Lloyd just told me that the reason he selected the song we have just finished singing, God of Grace and God of Glory, is that in the aftermath of what for him and his wife was the great tragedy of their lives, the loss of their daughter Janet Lynn in an automobile accident, that like a sort of river of God's grace and energy, that song and its message came ringing home to them. And it is one of their very favorites. And thus, I want you to see this man and sense this man first as a brother, then as a father and husband, and finally, long down the road, as a denominational agency executive. Lloyd Elder rings real. If you are around him very long, you know that. He is a man who has been to the bottom and tested it and found it solid. And his theology is tempered by that experience and those experiences of his life. You have the basic data that I would recite if I were to take the time to do it. Read that with some care and come to appreciate our lecturer today and tomorrow, not only as a man of great heritage and history and credential, but a man of sincere Christian devotion. He has served, as you see, pastorates since 1952 when he was a student. His pastoral days terminated in 1975 as the pastor of the Gambrell Street Baptist Church, which is hard by the most nearly adjacent church building that Baptists have in Fort Worth, just at the bottom of the hill. Bob Naylor used to talk about welcoming people to the hill at Fort Worth. I went out there one day after he had done that, and honestly, it's as flat as a pancake. And Gambrell Street is at the bottom of that hill, which I guess is off the curb. It's about as tall as I suppose it is. But anyway, he was the pastor of that church, the last pastorate before he became involved in ministry in the denomination. He did a very significant thing the year he became the director, executive officer, president of our Sunday School board, in that he authored, in 1984, published by Broadman, Blueprints, 10 Challenges for a Great People. And that still is a genuinely good roadmap, not only for that agency, but for all of us who are trying to find our way as Baptists in turbulent times. So, Lloyd, welcome to Southeastern. This is not his first visit. Hopefully, it will certainly not be his last. He has come and visited with us before, but this is his first series of lectures here. And we're delighted at the sound of the lectures in the titles, and we will hear you gladly. You're among friends. Friend,
thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Lally. And I want to express my deepest appreciation to President Lally and to the faculty committee and others who made it possible for me to be a part of this time at Southeastern Seminary. We are delighted from the Sunday School Board family to be bound up in the bundle of life with you and to participate this week in ministry together. Thank you for letting me be a part of the lecture series also. Quite often, the Sunday School Board, in responding to key issues, finds itself in a human dilemma. This was brought home to me just last month in a letter that I received, and I want to share this letter with you at the very outset of the address today. Dear Mr. Elder, our church changed to the Bible book study for adults at the beginning of the Sunday school year. Personally, I am very well pleased with the large print. However, some of our ladies would like a quarterly small enough to go in their purses along with the big print. This might be something that you would like to consider in the future. I say again, the Sunday School Board responding to key issues brings about a human dilemma at times, but we accept that dilemma and share it with you as fellow Southern Baptists and as such close kin to us in ministry, in the ministry of our Christ. The thesis of the address today is the Baptist Sunday School Board has a stewardship to walk with and to work with our Southern Baptist people as we discern and respond to key issues and trends facing us today. And it is the responsibility of each one of us as Christian disciples to face the issues as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Although this address does not propose to be a sermon, Holy Scripture has much to say to the Sunday School Board and to you as fellow Southern Baptist, as we live out our discipleship in the midst of these days. The intent of this address, therefore, is based on the principles of our Lord recorded in Luke 14, verse 25 through 32. Now great multitudes were going along with him, and he turned to them and said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to finish it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it began to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and take counsel whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks terms of peace." What is taught in this text by our Lord about Christian discipleship? Four truths stand out. First, that Christian discipleship is costly. It is rightfully described by our Lord as cross-bearing. It is not chaotic crowd response to a popular leader, but a commitment tested by behavior and relationships. Second, that Christian discipleship anticipates not only a good beginning, but also a successful completion. It is a building project to be finished. It is a battle to be fought and won. Third, that Christian discipleship involves counting the cost aforehand. The issues to be faced are rightfully there and are largely anticipated and known. And fourth, that Christian discipleship is a decision against all odds. It is an act of faith in the midst of known and measured issues. It is a commitment to the Christ in the midst of life's real circumstances. What then are the key issues and trends facing us as Southern Baptists today, and how shall we respond to them in such a way as to demonstrate our discipleship? In the first place, I've chosen deliberately to select the issues we face from the larger society than our Baptist denomination. It has been for me a very invigorating insight to examine some key issues described by those outside the Southern Baptist family. At times I fear that our God is not only too small, but also that our problems are defined and confined too narrowly for us. What then are some of the issues in the larger environment shaping our lives and guiding our destinies? The Sunday School Board must care what Southern Baptist people say and think, but in behalf of Southern Baptists, we must also assess the issues and trends among the people of our nation to whom we seek to have an authentic Christian witness. Therefore, the key issues we address today in this lecture, I'm abstracting from John Nesbitt's book, Megatrends, 10 New Directions Transforming Our Lives. Suggested responses by the Sunday School Board or by us as Southern Baptist people, I claim as my own contribution to the lecture and hopefully to you as an audience. That book by John Nesbitt has made its own unique contribution to the understanding of America. It is based, as you know, on content analysis of news events. For more than a decade, Trend Report has monitored 6,000 local newspapers each month. The news reporting process is a forced choice in a closed system. Not only so much space is available for printing the news. If something is added, something must be dropped. And so large-scale trends are detected and tracked. Societies, like individuals, can handle only so many concerns or issues at any one time. So the news stories or headlines come and go, but if they stay, it represents a megatrend, a big issue to be addressed in society. Nesbitt says that trends, like horses, are easier to ride in the direction they're already going. He also assesses that it's easier to ride an escalator if you're going to the level toward which it is moving. The most reliable way to anticipate the future is by understanding something of the present, its issues and its trends. His overall assessment is that in our nation we are living in a time of parentheses. That alone has a dramatic statement to make to us as Southern Baptists, a time of parentheses, the time between eras, between past and future, neither here nor there. This is the time of the restructuring of America from the bottom up, shaping its challenges, possibilities, and questions. And this is a time when we as Southern Baptist people, we are facing the big issues and trends that shape us. And as disciples of the eternal redeeming Christ, we must seek to face those issues as ministers of the gospel. First, the trend of an industrial society to an informational society. Although we continue to think we live in an industrial society, Nesbitt assesses, we have, in fact, changed to an economy based on the creation and distribution of information. Such a restructuring is as profound as the shift from an agricultural to an industrial economy. It is subtle, but it is an explosive shift. For the first time in American history, The generation moving into adulthood is less skilled than its parents. The information society had its beginning in 56, 57. For example, in 1956, Eisenhower was elected as President of the United States, an industrial power. But very little notice was given to a symbolic milestone because that year, for the first time, white-collar workers outnumbered blue-collar workers. And in 1957, a more dramatic event took place. The Russians launched Sputnik. Not space exploration, but the globalization of the information revolution was its real impact. In 1950, 17% of us worked in the information jobs. 30 years later, 60% in information-type jobs. Now, only 13% of the labor force is in the manufacturing operations of today. It has been a transition from farmer to laborer to clerk. That's a brief history of the United States. In 1979, the number one occupation was clerk. The strategic resource is information. The new wealth is know-how. The new source of power is not money in the hands of the few, but information in the hands of the many. We are drowning in information, but starved for knowledge. How shall Baptists respond to this information trend, this issue facing us today? Although Southern Baptists continue to think, along with our fellow Americans, that we're still living in an industrial, even an agricultural society, we are in fact changing to a society and economic life based on the creation and the distribution of information. Baptists always have been, we are now, and will in the future be in the information business. Since the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Not just any kind of information, but the good news of Jesus Christ. Data, facts, information, knowledge, these only? No, much more than these for us. But the truth that frees us is the information that grips us. We need to learn how to proclaim and restate the power of the gospel in the powerful information age in which we live. Baptists need to learn how to communicate with one another in this information era. How tragic that there has been a breakdown in communication among us in an era when the hardware and the software for communication is so available. The Sunday School Board must continue to be pathfinders of clear communication among Southern Baptists in this age. Baptists need to practice theology of the laity that penetrates every arena of the information society with technically skilled, ministry-committed Christians. Computer technology may become the next breakthrough in the local community, but it cannot replace the human quotient, that is, the Christian disciple. Baptists must help one another and the large number of people trapped in the shadows of the industrial age to understand, to accept, and to enter this information society. We must not simply long for the good old days and thereby reject our own day of the Lord. A second issue to be faced, from forced technology to high-tech, high-touch. Nesbitt says we're moving in the dual direction of high-tech, high-touch, matching each new technology with a compensatory human response. We must learn, he records, to balance the material wonders of technology with the spiritual demands of human nature. The high-tech computer in medical arena and home and factory and communication has a high-tech backlash. We attempt to do all we want to electronically without expecting the negative spiritual consequences. We need the high-tech skills, but new tools are not the solution. High-tech is equally demanded. Our deep need is for us to be together. Our Baptist response will include that this trend, knowing that the needs of the human spirit are at the very heart of the Christian ministry, Baptists must indeed be good stewards of modern technology And I think in a large measure we have been. Technology utilized in the church and the denomination, however, must be balanced by the trusting touch of fellow Baptists. Baptists must be with Baptists to function well. It's hard to distrust someone when you know them personally. Whether in the electronic or the printed arena of life, the Sunday School Board must have both high tech and high touch, or we will become unproductive in our ministry. The Christian family, although it's changing in the American society, among Southern Baptists can be provided the strength to be all that God intends for us to be at the point of high touch. And the gathered Baptist church has unprecedented opportunity to fulfill the human need in a changing day. The spiritual needs of mankind is the major domain of the body of Christ. And Baptist ministers must develop, maintain, and express the caring touch of the under-shepherd to the people of God. No remote electronic church can meet the needs of the information society, saint or sinner. You are at the very center of a touching lives and growing churches in the name of Jesus Christ and the gospel that we share. A third issue we face has to do with a national economy moving to a world economy. And in the interest of time, let me simply say that Southern Baptists have seen themselves all these days as being world Christians. Those committed to a world that needs Jesus Christ. And so we are affected by a global economy, but we are affected as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. With Him, there is no east or west, and Him, no north or south. And so our knowledge of the world in which we live must be responded to by our willingness to take the gospel of Christ into that whole world. The fourth issue to be faced is from short-term to long-term. We are restructuring from a society run by short-term considerations, Nesbitt has assessed, in favor of dealing with things in much longer time frames. Short-term presses for the quick profit, often at the expense of people concerned. The railroads did not see that they were in the transportation business, not just in railroading, and therefore, because of their short-term thinking, the trucking lines and the airlines have greatly diminished the great rail system of our nation. And the same kind of thing can happen to those of us who minister in the name of Jesus Christ. There must be, among Southern Baptists, that commitment to the long term. We must not sacrifice the future for short-term gains. But in the face of limited resources, and I might add limited knowledge of what is happening around us, we must wisely allocate all of our resources to witness to a world in the name of Jesus Christ. As Baptists, we must ask ourselves the question, what business are we really in? We must also ask, where do we want to be 5 years from now? And we must ask, how can we get there? Long-term commitments on the part of Southern Baptists are so essential for effectiveness in the gospel of Christ. We must not simply live from one convention to the next or one issue to the next, but rather as followers of Christ, we must take the long-term look. We must seek first the kingdom of God, or as in the text, we must, as disciples, sit down and count the cost. As His disciples, we must somehow recapture a bold mission vision of this world in which we live. The fifth issue. From centralization to decentralization. Centralized structures are crumbling all across America. But our society is not falling apart. Far from it. The people of this country are rebuilding America from the bottom up into a stronger, more balanced, more diverse society, John Nesbitt says. In 1950, when TV began, there were 700 radio stations, and it was thought that the television would do away completely with radio, and now there are 9,000 radio stations. Two-party system is breaking down in America. 535 political groups are now registered on Capitol Hill. States' rights are growing, and regionalism is on the rise. Population growth is now in the small towns and the rural areas, and they're pulling ahead of the growth in the large cities. We are decentralizing throughout America. What about the Baptist response? Well, the polity and structure of Southern Baptists could be very ideal to help us cope with the changing society toward decentralization. Baptists already have a decentralized structure, even to the point of fragmentation. 14.6 million Baptist members, each one claiming the right of independent thought and independent holding of convictions. 37,000 local churches, 1,200 Baptist associations, 37 state conventions and their institutions, 20 SBC boards, agencies, commissions, and institutions. We are already decentralized. Now, we may sometimes act as if we're a hierarchy, but the fact of the matter, our polity demands and our heritage requires that we see ourselves as a decentralized people of God. Each Baptist institution must not seek to relate to Southern Baptist on a centralized basis. It will be rejected by an increasing number of our people. Do Baptists really want an official voice, or will they rise up in our day to hear an authentic voice? A centralized creedal structure could become a serious flaw in Baptist life. However, along beside that, let us please note this. Successful decentralization among Southern Baptists will require a strong, central, biblical core of shared meanings, beliefs, and values. That is the nature of decentralization. A sixth issue to face is from institutional help to self-help. We are shifting from institutional help to self-help all across the United States. Self-reliance as an aspect of life is around us at every turn. Slowly, we began to wean ourselves from our collective institutional dependency, learning to trust and rely on ourselves. This is happening in our society. What will be our Baptist response? Southern Baptists believe in and practice, at least on a selective basis, the autonomy of the individual, the priesthood of believers. But we also believe in and practice our responsibility in the name of Christ to others all around us. At the same time, we also affirm the authority of Holy Scripture in matters of faith and practice. Our response to self-help or institutional help must have some strong statements by us at the Sunday School Board and other Southern Baptists. The Sunday School Board must be very careful about claiming in radical overstatements its position as an institution of Southern Baptists. Rather, it seems we must earn consistently, if not every moment or every morning that we wake up, we must earn consistently our place of trust and service. Let us tolerate those who disagree with us or with our cause. Have you not, as I have found, that it is most tempting to build enemy camps instead of friends in waiting? If someone disagrees with us, do we assume the person is naive at best or more likely ignorant and probably lacking integrity? Among us as Southern Baptists, this is not good. Take care in staking out your own position as the ultimate and only truth, that only others could possibly be in a false truth stance. And don't assume nothing could well become our new watchword. By that, I mean in rather rude or crude statement that this is a time in the midst of Southern Baptist life when we need to confess unashamedly that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we have been saved by His power and set on a new path. We must not simply assume that others know that. We need to have a prayer relationship to our God and need to have an experience of piety without the parade that goes with it. We must not assume that others understand that He is Lord. He is Lord of life. He is Lord of my life and yours. We must in these days and time as we respond to institutional help or self-help to proclaim all around us that we are helpless and therefore evangelism is one of the watchwords of the Church of the Living Christ. And church growth is at the heart of the gospel for us at the Sunday School Board and for all of our Southern Baptists. It is not simply a matter of institutional help or self-help, but the help of the Almighty in our lives. And therefore, it is for us in these days to call for authentic discipleship that holds up the help of Christ in the life of each one of us. We must listen. Listen to others, all others, not just our kind or your kind, but all of those with whom we serve and to whom we bear witness. We must not, as those inside the institution, decry budgets and buildings and baptisms in the local church. We must not depreciate the success of the mega churches, but rather appreciate the practical necessity of a pastor or staff or lay leaders in the local church to make the church survive and live authentically in this day. It is not just a matter of institutional help or self-help. I have found that the prophetic voice today may too often sound like the propaganda hype of one's own biased position. And Lord, help us at our board that we not become that, but rather one who points to the help Jesus Christ gives to all of us. Join causes with secular and political movements very cautiously in these days. It is too easy to decry the political attachment of others without first removing the party plank from your own eye. And so we must move beyond merely institutional help or self-help. Christianity, in its very essence, is the Lord Christ. It is not a doctrine of a body of doctrine, nor merely a system of values, not even a collection of issues that the human race must confront, but a redeemed relationship to Christ and to His body. That will be our response to this tension and trend toward self-help. And seventh, from representative democracy to participatory democracy. Nesbitt says we are discovering that the framework of representative democracy has become obsolete in an era of instantaneously shared information. The ethics of participation is spreading bottom-up across America and radically altering the way we think people and institutions should be governed. People whose lives are affected by decisions must be a part of the decision-making process. How shall Baptists respond? In this area, we are responding, good or bad, on a daily basis. Southern Baptists are participating more openly and forcefully in Southern Baptist denominational life, in shared beliefs, in individual responsibility, in denominational efforts, and congregational activities. Consider only examples. The increasing indirect action and participation by churches and individuals in the mainstream of denominational life, the official mainstream of denominational life. The willingness of individuals to go on record without any thought of image or personal risk. The routine questioning of Southern Baptist people regarding the role of SBC agencies as rightfully representing the constituency. Private Baptist vendors provide increasing numbers of products and services to Southern Baptist churches, including theological education and Sunday school quarterlies. And mission action groups in a societal approach rise up every day to do the Lord's missionary work. This is a day when we as Baptists must respond to the bottoms-up side of America, and in doing so find it within our own denomination a major issue to which we must respond. Charismatic leaders are accepted as right and authentic by a large segment of Southern Baptists, and we will continue to do this. And Baptists will give them a sense of official authority, even if it cuts across our heritage or our polity. Baptist churches by the hundreds and by the thousands will continue to act out what we have believed and proclaimed all along. The central place of the local church is voluntary in its relationship to the denomination. And each Southern Baptist is one who has individual responsibility to his Lord and before an open Bible. Eighth, the hierarchies of trend to networking in the midst of our society. The failure of hierarchies to solve society's problems has forced people to talk to one another, and that is the beginning of new networks in our midst. We are giving up our dependence on the hierarchy structures in favor of informal networks. The pyramids are being smashed all around us. Simply stated, networks are people talking to each other, sharing ideas, information, and resources. Networks exist to foster self-help, to exchange information, to change society, to improve productivity, work life, and to share resources. Now, as far as we are concerned, how are we to respond to that as Southern Baptists? This should be one of the geniuses of our Southern Baptist family. With our vast number of components, we have the potential of a fantastically effective network or of a flawed fragmentation into isolated units. The church, the family, the school will be in the network if they work. And what we have to do as Southern Baptists, on the basis of God's redeeming love, is to see to it that they work on the principled and value system of the gospel. Family life is changing drastically, but it will be viable in some form in our society if it is supported by the Christian faith. As Baptists, we have Christian value base that makes the family do more than survive, but could provide the very strength and help that this society and this network needs. I would point out again to you today what has been pointed out again in other generations, even eras, that the very bankruptcy of society itself offers Christianity its greatest opportunity if that opportunity is claimed. And if there has been a crashing of the pyramids, could this not be the day when there is a growing up in our midst of a network that is filled with the redeeming power of Christ and the trust in one another that follows that? Those in every role in the denomination should take the part of the people. Let the seminary and let the Sunday school board stand up for the people and advocate their needs and their rights and their causes. It is the Baptist people in the local church and the lost people to whom we witness that needs the institution to advocate what the people need from the gospel of Jesus Christ. The institutions do not exist primarily for the benefit of issues and movements, but we benefit for the people, and we benefit for an authentic voice for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The board has historically taken the biblical conservative position with major ongoing ethical, social, evangelistic, and missionary concerns. We believe that we can best respond to the issues today if we are faithfully what we have been for 95 years, solidly biblically oriented and deeply committed to what that means in the life of people all across our nation and for us all across our world. Let us go beyond the descriptive propensities of the sociologist, the prescriptive pronouncements of ethicists, and let us be a voice of one crying in the wilderness, "The Lord Christ has come, and He calls us to commitment." We must not lay ourselves explosive minds on the high road so that no one else can use it or travel with us. Occasionally there are thousands who want to join us in the cause of Christ, but they cannot do so because we seek to control the highway in such a way that they will not pay the toll that we extract. How often have you felt about someone else, of course, that "I like your cause, but I can't stand you or the crowd you run with"? Southern Baptist, at the Sunday School Board, we have a responsibility. I think we all have a responsibility to become Sir Greatheart in the midst of such broken hearts around us. There is a trend and issue to face from north to south. I abbreviate by simply saying that as a Baptist response, we must realize that the great Southland has been the Baptist stronghold, but the era has come when the great cities of the South are being lost to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the call is upon us at the board and other Southern Baptists to rethink where will be our strength in the days to come, and how shall we face the issues not simply of the lost cities of the North or the East or the West, but in the very Baptist stronghold. How shall we faithfully bear witness to the cause of Jesus Christ? Those of us in the churches of the Old South may have to adapt our traditional ways in order to reach those who are coming to us from the east and to the north. And the 10th mega trend or issue to which I give some address today is from either or to multiple options. From a narrow either or society with limited range of personal choices, we are exploding into a freewheeling multiple option society. This Baskin-Robbins society is reflected in the very midst of Southern Baptist life, and how shall we respond? One compelling eternal option among us in this either-or choice or this unlimited option is for us to say again what has been said by our forebears before us, that what is needed in our midst is not simply to track the trends of the day, but beseech our Lord for a sweeping revival of personal, social, and denominational scope. For us not really to think in terms of social choices so much as gospel mandates. People need structure, not ambiguity. And Southern Baptists have in the past benefited by bringing to society those stable content of the gospel that brings that kind of authentic structure. Transition gives a unique opportunity, but it could be possible that we would forfeit that opportunity by thrashing our convention into chaos. We need to stabilize an authentic biblical base of our denomination and hold firmly to those biblical principles regardless of the changing options presented by our society. A closing challenge I claim to present to all of us today. I want to press again the question for us at the Sunday School Board and for you at Southeastern Seminary and for all of our Southern Baptist people. How should we, in fact, face the key issues of our society? What path shall we follow as disciples of Jesus Christ? Let me both summarize, confess, and exhort us toward a hopeful and positive direction. First, let us as disciples of the Lord Christ sit down and count the cost. The cost to the kingdom of God for our neglect of the gospel itself. Let us give careful attention to our present and future as a denomination of Christians in the kingdom business of our Lord. Our desire, one desire that I have as children of God called Southern Baptists, is that we not let any profit-making enterprise do its business better than we do the business of Jesus Christ our Lord. Such a situation analysis must ask the hard question about realities and set out a plan of action supported by a larger number of Southern Baptists. Second, let us recover and restructure and value as our very own possession the founding dreams and purpose and mission of our Baptist forebears. Not all wisdom has come of age in the 1980s. Third, let us know, experience, enrich, and communicate to the generations following our great Baptist heritage and beliefs. Let us affirm and confess, not argue or deny, the central core of our shared meanings, our biblical doctrines, and our Christian values. Fourth, as Southern Baptists, let us seek from our sovereign God an authentic spiritual awakening throughout every experience in Baptist life, an awakening that comes in personal faith in Jesus, in congregational life of our churches, in the institutional life of our agencies and institutions like the board and like Southeastern, and yes, in our public witness to those who are watching us for a behavior and a relationship that bears witness to Jesus Christ. Fifth, let us function as a total denomination with the local church as the central organizing unit of Baptist life, seeking to bring men and women to God through Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of life. Sixth, let us know our structure and our Baptist polity. Let us open the structure up for full, orderly, productive participation by the largest number of Southern Baptist people in every area of denominational life. As never before, we need knowledgeable, statesman-like Southern Baptists to step out in places of leadership, those who will help us do our very best at working together in the vineyard of our Christ. Seventh, as Southern Baptists, let us discover, encourage, and utilize leadership and power of our gifted and diverse people. Let us accept every style of leadership that a person may have, but measure every style of leadership by the content of servant leadership given by our Christ. Eighth, let us learn how to get along together and resolve our differences based upon the principle of love, reconciliation, forgiveness, mutual trust, and fair play. Ninth, let us seek to understand, to manage and shape the tides of change swirling all around us. The issues will always be with us. Not to ignore or to resist or even deny them. Let us openly communicate with one another in such a way that we share information and knowledge, that we promote understanding and trust, and that we advance the work of Christ to which we're mutually committed. And finally, as Southern Baptists, let us recommit ourselves individually and corporately to the task of reaching people for Christ, for discipling them in the local churches and equipping them to be fruitful out in the world as followers of Christ. My fellow Southern Baptists, those of us here from the board and those of you a part of Southeastern Family, in my judgment, we are, by God's kind providence and grace, well able to face the issues and trends around us today. We must stand solidly upon those things that are eternal as we respond to them. We must do so as we shape the issues that would shape us, and as we change the directions that would guide us. Along with you, the Baptist Sunday School Board is committed to God's new day of high commitment and mutual trust and effective kingdom service. We must face the issues of the day as disciples of the eternal living Christ in our midst. May God bless us in the doing of it.
Dear Lord, to the mission and to the meaning, and to Thee we now turn our heads, our hands, our hearts, for Christ's sake. Amen.